Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hockey. Yeah.
My favorite.
It's Judd's Hockey Show.
And welcome in to a pre-Thanksgiving Day edition of Judd's Hockey Show. Judd Declan, and it is Wednesday, but because Thanksgiving is Thursday and things will slow down quite a bit, let's just change this to Judd's Hockey Show, Declan, Reckless Speculation Wednesday.
Yeah.
Because we're about to, let's just say we're about to take one sentence of something and blow it up, because that's how we do things at Score North. At Score North.
Sometimes we even read tweets and then we get, you know, Tyson Jost, that didn't actually happen. That was a misquote, and it's just
Mike here. That's another story.
Right of the show.
We can get into that. I know exactly what that was about. So anyway, let's start though with the reckless speculation.
Yeah.
That comes from a piece that Michael Russo did in The Athletic, which really wasn't about this topic, but it was mentioned in passing. And it was quickly picked up by some of the Wild blogosphere. And I got to say, guys and gals, good job.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job, because we're going to do the exact same thing. I mean, we are not above jumping on the grenade.
Reckless speculation.
That is that. Reckless speculation. All right. So Tyson Jost is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully claimed by Buffalo, which really helped.
It does.
So Buffalo claims him. The Wild now has, according to what I just looked at, capfriendly.com, $4.7 million or thereabouts right now in cap space, which actually is pretty good, because a lot of teams are well more pressed. I think the Wild's like sixth now in cap space.
Yeah.
And so with Jost gone, with some cap room available, and now let's start to put the pieces of the puzzle together.
Mm.
The Wild in 18 games has 49 goals, 2.7 per game. That's not going to cut it.
Nope.
Goaltending is not really – what's funny is defense is really not the problem. Goal scoring is Fiala gone. We've talked about that. But Russo, in passing, mentioned Bill Guerin is exploring and he didn't make it very clear, so my guess is it's just an exploration here. So, because I think Mike would have gone much stronger if, like, this was on the front burner, right? Like, this is on the back burner, on that little small one where like you stick the pot to keep it hot.
Sure.
But it's not like burning up. It's low.
Yep.
It's simmering. That's the word I'm looking for. Much like the turkey that Dawn is preparing for our turkey to go, which she cooked last night. It's simmering in the crock pot right now. But what's simmering is that Guerin is exploring opportunities to bring in not just any forward, but potentially a top six one. So, Declan, I'm going to turn it to you with all of that being said, because you have some names to add to the reckless speculation simmering.
All right.
So go ahead.
Let's go to our guy, Frank Cervelli. I'm going to call him our guy. I don't think he's ever been on the show.
He's not a friend of the show, but he is a well-known insider.
Yeah, NHL insider. He's on dailyfaceoff.com now. So Frank, in all of his glorious wisdom, put together a list, top 20 names to start watching as trade targets. Let the bidding begin, he says.
Okay.
And his number one target is a guy that's on this list that we have actually explored already this season, Bo Horvat. So Vancouver is just spiraling out of control here. Bo Horvat's off to an incredible start, 15 goals already in like 20 games. Set to be a unrestricted free agent this summer. I'm guessing this will probably be the top name in terms of centers available by the trade deadline. certainly won't come cheap. You're probably talking about a first round pick, maybe even multiple picks to get someone like this. I would love to get Bo Horvat. I just don't know if Guerin has the resources. And then if he trades for him, if he's going to acquire someone of this caliber that he's surrendering the capital to get, he's probably going to want to lock him up. And do the Wild have the space and the money to lock him up? I love this idea. He would be an instant upgrade in this lineup. I just don't know if there's enough chips on the table, if you will, to make this trade happen.
Unfortunately, I'm going to deem this a complete non-starter right now because you need this right now. So, like, this is not a deadline. Like, this is not a, boy, wouldn't it be nice in March, right? This is a right now. You aren't scoring goals. Complete non-starter, and I can give you about four factors. One is the Western Conference playoff race is incredibly tight. The only teams that are the bottom two teams are the Coyotes and Ducks. Vancouver, because the last playoff spot eight, is, I believe, 20 points right now. So Vancouver's like five out. So, like, if they gas Boudreau, which I think they are going to, and they do exactly what they did last year, which is get hot with a new coach, you know, they're not done yet. And I can't see them punting yet. Like, there's a lot tied up in that team. So if they are out of it at the deadline, I think he's definitely moved. I shouldn't say that. I think he's probably moved.
I think he's probably moved.
We all thought that JT Miller was a goner from the Canucks last year, and he actually re-signed in the offseason. So anyway, complete non-starter now. Can't see it. Cap room, also a problem. And again, you said this too. The price there is probably more prospects. Because, like, if the Wild is taking a downturn here, you don't want to give up more prospects and draft picks, right?
Right. Yeah, and luckily, so, like, of everything that they surrendered last year at the deadline, you know, they didn't give up that much capital. That's, I think, what was so, at least, significant capital. So that part was a win for Bill Guerin that he wasn't able to do that. But yes, I just think it's going to be too tough to pull off to do so. All right, I'm going to give you another name here, and this is not a center, but it's a forward. And again, this is just in the spirit of reckless speculation. So
top six forward. That's what the report said. It did not say center. So you are recklessly speculating very wisely right now.
Timo Meier of the San Jose Sharks, a pending RFA, $6 million AAV right now. Now he is due a $10 million qualifying offer in the summer. So his next contract can get a little tricky. You can probably lock him up. You can probably forego the RFA status if you'd like. Sign him to a long-term deal. You don't have to do a bridge deal. Bridge deal might help you, I guess, in the short term, but again, might be able to figure things out in the long term. He's a really good forward. He's young. He's still 26 years old. I like this fit. He would, you know, Timo Meier, in my opinion, is on the same level of a Kevin Fiala guy, a guy who can get really hot, a guy who can drive offense, who can really take things over. What do you think about Timo Meier in San Jose?
I'm intrigued by that. I think with the age, again, the price, I mean, he's in 21 games this year so far. He's second on the Sharks with 18 points, including 9 goals.
Mm-hmm.
This intrigues me. I think this is probably far more of a realistic conversation than Bo Horvat is right now. But all of that being said, what's the price tag? And again, if the Sharks are going to trade a guy like this, do they want to trade him now when it's basically one team potentially, or two or something like that, or the deadline? Because the Sharks, I don't think, are good enough to make a playoff run long term, and you could actually maximize this. That's what intrigues me, Dex, is when we're talking about a top six forward, if the guy is inevitably going to be traded, there's certainly a group where I think what we've learned is the team that's going to trade him eventually, if they do, is going to walk it up to the deadline.
Sure.
Because that's where you get the bidding, right? So, yes, but this intrigues me. I think this is, I would declare the Horvat idea right now a complete non-starter. I think this at least has a few legs.
Okay. Yeah, and also,
you agree?
Yeah, the qualifying offer is a little weird because I believe if he accepts it, then you're on the hook for it. But he might deny it because then that means he can get a long-term deal with more long-term money if it's not $10 million per. And he's not going to get $10 million per in a long-term deal. Probably, again, he's making six right now. So he's probably going to make somewhere between 6 and 7 between his next contract. So does he want that instead of accepting a $10 million qualifying offer? And that honestly could scare off teams in general, because if the player accepts it, well, then that team is on the hook to paying a good but not great player $10 million per season, which is a lot of cash.
That sounds like a problem.
Yeah.
That does sound like a – there would need to be very clear clarification before you pulled the trigger on that.
This next name is kind of interesting. So Anthony Duclair in Florida. So Duclair is still coming back from his injury. He had an Achilles injury, but he's set to return around Christmas. Now, Florida has to be cap compliant by the time he is activated. Florida is pinching pennies right now to make sure that their salary cap works. When he is active and healthy, someone has to move. Someone has to go. Now, what usually happens in these situations is someone else gets injured. And they put someone on long-term IR, they put someone on IR, and then all of a sudden Duclair kind of absorbs some of that blow. But Anthony Duclair, last season, 31 goals, 27 assists. He's under contract for only $3 million AAV through next season. Now, again, Florida has this weird cap situation. They went through this transitional phase where they look like they were going to make a deep cup run, but then they can't figure out the Tampa Bay Lightning. Kind of reminds me of the Wild against the Blackhawks from like 8 years ago, where it's a good team. And that Florida team is honestly probably even better than those Wild teams, but they just can't solve Tampa Bay. They make a little shakeup last year, right? They kind of overhaul their roster to a degree. What do you think about, though, Anthony Duclair? He's cheap. He is coming off a major injury. But Florida, again, has to make some type of move by the time he's active here in about a month.
Oh, boy, this guy's career, is so intriguing because just since 2018-19, okay, Dex, he's gone from 19 goals, not bad. The next year with the Senators, 23 goals. Then he goes to Florida, and he's hurt, so he plays in 43 games and scores 10 goals. And then, to your point, he comes back last year and gets 31 goals in 74 games. Coming off an Achilles really worries me. You're going to be so like he's not playing now, to your point again, right. And you're going to throw him in there and you need help goal scoring right now. Like, I think this is the most realistic name as far as a potential trade. What's his contract?
He's only making again. $3 million AAV.
Okay.
Very
reasonable. This is the most realistic name on the non friend of the show Cervelli's list, but that problem there is he's also potentially not going to step in and help you when you need help yesterday. So like I think that's the sticking point. The contract not bad. The player can certainly score, but he's coming off a very significant injury, and are you going to acquire him and give up what you need to get a guy, Dex, who you hope can step in December, but you're not quite sure. Very high risk. I don't see it happening. You?
Yeah, it depends on what you're going to give up to get this guy. Is Florida just going to say, hey, two reasons. If they're not willing to give up a significant asset, that might tell me right there that they don't really believe that injury, he's going to be the same player post-injury, right? So they're like, screw it, goodbye. We don't want to thanks for your services. Is a good player when healthy, but he just had Achilles surgery. He's 27 going on 28. He is under contract beyond this season again for a very reasonable cost at $3 million per. So if you're heriting a goal scorer that's in, scoring 27, 30 goals for $3 million AAV, that's the best bargain around. But again, what would the Wild have to give up? Probably a third, maybe even a second.
Yeah,
I don't know what the return looks like. I'm interested in the player. I would love the player, to be honest. And if that means I still have to wait another month, I'm mostly okay with that. I can wait a little bit.
I need help.
But you need help
right now.
Need help right now.
I need help right now. Tonight.
The next player on this list, I actually think this is the most obtainable guy. I think even I have kicked around this guy before to you in years past on Judd's Hockey Show. Jack Roslovic. Who's now in the Columbus Blue Jackets. He used to play for Winnipeg a lot.
Yep.
He is having a slow start for Columbus, just one goal in 15 games. But this is a guy who was removed from a 22-goal campaign last season with Columbus. He has scored double-digit goals three other times. This year's actually winning faceoffs, but in the past, he's kind of not been great at faceoffs. But $4 million AAV. A nice player who probably could use a little bit of a change of scenery. Columbus isn't doing anything. A former first-round pick. He's still only 25. He'll be 26 in January. But this is someone I think that would actually make a lot of sense. He's having a down season, so it's a buy-low candidate. It helps you fit a need at center, although he's not a game-changing center. He is still a top-six kind of guy. What do you think about Jack Rizlavic in Columbus?
Okay, this is really – this is – yes, you're probably right. This is the one that if you think that a change of scenery is going to help boost him, it makes the most sense. First round pick of the Jets in 15.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually from Columbus.
Yeah, he's a
That's
Columbus
the intriguing
boy.
Thing. So, like, he's from there. He went home and if I'm not mistaken, the Pierre-Luc Dubois trade.
Yes, he's a big part of that.
To the Blue Jackets. You know what? Yeah, so this intrigues me. Because here's the thing that keeps coming to mind when we hear that Bill Guerin is kicking the tires and then we recklessly speculate on a top six forward, not a bottom six one. Okay. Who's it going to be at this point? Cause like you're looking, you're not going to get, there's for the most part, teams are not going to trade guys right now because how many teams are set to punt?
Yeah.
So like, and again, if it was a bottom six guy, I'd be like, okay, that's not too hard. Top six guys, different story. And, you know, certainly if it's a trade deadline guy, I think he sticks around until closer to the deadline when there is more bidding. Rizlavic makes some sense here because, like you pointed out, he's off to a slow start. And so he would probably not come cheaply. That's the thing. And the other thing we don't know that I'd love to have a better feel for, and I feel like we are getting mixed messages from the Wild, is what are their intentions here, too? Because if you're going to trade a high draft pick or you're going to trade a decent prospect, you are stating that your intention is to do what this year? Try and make the playoffs? Try and make a run, which I don't, you know... A year ago, I was mistaken, but I thought they had the potential.
Yeah, absolutely. Didn't you? No, yes, absolutely. I thought they were going to make a run.
This team, I don't see that.
Mm-mm.
Like I don't see a run. So I would love to know from Guerin, Leopold, Evason, what are your intentions here? But this name, if you're going to get a top six guy and hope that he gets a spark, perhaps by, you know, perhaps going home didn't do Rizlavic much good. This name intrigues me the most, and I think it's probably the type of guy that, yes, you can plug him in immediately, and if you think he might get hot, it's worth a chance. But there are so many unanswered questions in my mind about what this team is doing right now.
Last name here for you. This one I'm actually very intrigued by. I would love it. Sean Monahan in Montreal, who got basically sent out of Calgary because they didn't want to pay him. Really good player for Calgary for a long time. Now he's with the Canadiens. He has 3 goals, 10 points in 18 games. He is a pending UFA. He makes decent coin, makes 6.3 AAV. So he's a pending UFA. He's 28. He's a center, has a history of scoring a lot of goals. What about Sean Monahan in Montreal?
Also makes a lot of sense. If you can fit the cap in.
Yeah,
that's the problem. And so he does intrigue me. I think Montreal is, although who knows, I think they're smart enough to know that there is a ceiling on their season. I saw him just get hammered by Buffalo last night. I watched that game and it was not pretty. And I would guess the price wouldn't be huge here. So yes, the last two names, depending on what the Rizlavic potential would be to give up a lot more. This would be to give up, in my opinion, a draft pick or something like that.
Yeah, he's trending to be a rental just because he's a UFA.
Yeah. I don't think there's a big bidding war for him, though, at the deadline. So, like, I think if you offered up the right package, he could be pried away immediately. And if you do that, though, you know, then your intention is we're better than, you know, we've got more here to give.
Right.
But you know, when you're scoring 2.7 goals per game, Dex,
yeah,
I don't blame you for at least kicking the tires on some guys who could put the biscuit in the basket.
No, absolutely. And those these are the fun names to start with, right? Like, it's early, to your point. Reckless. We're still at Thanksgiving. We're still looking for that identity. We don't really know what stop. Team the Wild want to be.
Stop. I keep reading it. No, I don't blame you, but I keep reading the identity thing. Your identity is you suck at goal scoring.
Yeah.
Like, is that what you want it to be? And, by the way, if you had listened to Judd's, by the way, if you listened to Judd's hockey show a year ago, I believe it was Declan Goff who kept saying, I hate to say this, but regression's coming for guys.
I did. I tried to tease you at it.
Foligno, you did nothing but tell us that.
I just try to get people on the scent a little bit more. Some people call me a clickbait artist, or you don't know what you're watching, that is a different thing.
You are a clickbait artist. I am a clickbait artist. I think you know what you're watching, but you are a clickbait artist.
Judd, before we get into some latest Wild news here, two things. I want to talk to you about my friends at Lake Ridge Liquors off 694 and Rice Street. A 1,000 wine in stock, ton of craft beer selection, including a lot of Surly. So a lot of Surly beer selection there. It's great prices. It's locally owned and operated too by Minnesota sports fans. So maybe you go to check out there. Maybe you can shoot the breeze about the Wild. Maybe you mention Judd's Hockey Show. And when you mention Judd's Hockey Show or Score North, when you sign up for their rewards program, they will comp you $5 on your next visit. What's more? What do you need more than life, Judd? You got your booze. You're talking some puck. You even get paid to be in there on your next visit. Those are all the three things I've always been looking for in life.
But you get paid.
Yeah, you get paid.
That's incredible.
And to shoot the breeze with some great Wild talk at Lake Ridge Liquors, go check them out. They're in Badness Heights off 694 and Rice Street. Lake Ridge Liquors. And of course, Judd, you have a new friend on the show. You have a new bar that's just stumbling distance from the Zolgad Estate. Where was Judd on Monday, and where will Judd plan to be to watch more Wild games this season?
In fact, I will be there again next Monday night, too, for football. That would be Park Tavern in St. Louis Park. Actually, you know what? Very close to me, right here in the park. and I want to tell you right now about a Black Friday opportunity, but don't tell anybody else.
Okay.
Because Score North viewers and listeners, I'm going to clue you in to a deal from Park Tavern, which is a great gift idea, or flat out could save you some hard-earned cash. All right, in front of me, I've got a Black Friday special offer Park Tavern card available only in person, and as you can see, it's available. The deal is 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Friday. Okay,
Black Friday.
Here's the deal, though. Here's the deal. Buy the $100 gift card, and you get a $50 bonus gift card. Now, after Friday, this goes from $50 on the bonus, Declan, to $25.
Okay.
But it's available for the rest of December or until supplies last if you go in and say, I heard about this gift card on Score North, Judd's Hockey Show, Purple Daily, Mackie and Judd. I don't care. Just say the magic words, Score North. And this deal with the $50 bonus gift card is available through the end of December. Park Tavern, a great place to throw a party, a great place to watch a game, a great place to get good food and meet with friends right off of Louisiana Avenue South in St. Louis Park, Park Tavern. They've been around for 42 years. Check them out. Get the gift card. You must go in. But you know what? Go in and drink a Surly.
Love it. Do that, actually. Judd, latest Wild news here. So we're shaking up the lines a little bit. Your guy, Colin Gallagher, Alex Goligoski, gets the big emotional goal. Good for him. And then all of a sudden we see he's on the top power play unit when we drop the puck potentially on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie here. Dean Evason is rubbing me the wrong way right now.
Oh, boy.
So, all right. We're recording this on Wednesday morning. The Wild is going to play the Jets tonight at the X, and then they're going to play the Maple Leafs on Black Friday. And so what we saw is that the Goose has been put on the top power play. And, yes, he had the emotional overtime goal in his 1,000th game on Saturday against the Hurricanes. Now, what we have seen is indications, and Dino would not reveal this for sure, that Kalen Addison not only taken off the first power play, Declan, but also potentially scratched. Now, against Carolina, they played 7D, but they were down a forward.
Right.
So I just want to say this is a preemptive strike, okay? If Kalen Addison is scratched, what are you doing? What are you doing? First of all, if anyone should be scratched, it's Dumba.
Dumba.
Second of all, the Goligoski thing, God bless him. His parents were there, 1,000th game. But really you hadn't played him in like 3 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you hadn't played him in 3 weeks. How he got on the ice in OT, 3-on-3 OT is an act of God. And it's still a great, it's why we love sports. But you're telling me that Kalen Addison might sit now? Look at the stats. Look at the metrics. Kalen Addison might not be Robert Gordon Orr, but he sure as hell doesn't deserve to sit. And you're developing. That's my question. What are your intentions here? Are you trying to develop players, or are you trying to milk old men for what they're worth before they're done playing? And the second point is Marco Rossi was scratched on Saturday to supposedly get right. Okay.
Right.
Marco Rossi scratched to get right. And then Marco Rossi said yesterday, because there have been, I believe Russo wrote that it looked, or he tweeted that it looked like there was a good chance he was going to get sent down to the Iowa Wild. Russo had tweeted that, and Rossi talked about, well, yeah, but I'd rather practice here, and I like being here. Yeah, everybody, get your act together.
I agree. The whole thing's very strange. You know, Kalen Addison has gotten off to a slower start the last 11 games, just one assist. It did come on the power play.
But is he trending poorly? Is he a disaster?
I don't think so. He's been playing about 17 minutes a night, so he's playing a good amount of minutes. A lot of that came early on. But even against Carolina, he barely played. I mean, he only played 734. So he basically got benched or barely used because of, yes, the situation of 7D, down a forward. It's strange. I would not want to. Awesome moment for Goligoski. I guess yes. You could say that he earns a spot in the lineup for how he played, but I don't like it that it comes at the cost of a top prospect and a guy who in the first, you know, 8 games of the season and has been running your power play. I don't like that. I hate that. And I don't think it's going to be a long-term thing for the Wild. I think the Goose maybe plays in 45 games this season at the max. It's probably even going to be under that.
It feels like Dean, though, is desperately trying to spark things through veterans at times.
Yep.
And you know what? Here's something else, just before we wrap up, that pisses me off, okay? So Dean's guy, Freddie Goudreau, was the first-line guy, right? And they finally said, okay, that's not good. That's not a good idea. He is in no way, shape, or form a first-line center. He is a hardworking center/winger. All right. So now they say, okay, we're going to take another jag. Sammy Steele, who played great on Saturday.
Played really well.
We're going to put him on the first line. Let me ask you a question. Why do you think Sam Steele played so well? Which, by the way, I don't expect to keep up in perpetuity. Why do you think he played so well?
Because he was motivated, Judd. He got put in the spot to shine.
Yes, he did. And guess what he played with? High-end talent. And so he felt good about himself. I wonder what Marco Rossi would do if given the same chance.
I agree.
But he can. He's not ready. And he's this whole thing of he's practicing and that. No, he needs to play in games. And he's not in his first year out of the draft, okay? It's just, I don't, again, what are your intentions? Bill Guerin told us on this show, and I loved it last year. What did he say about Marco Rossi? He's not going to be here to play a bottom six role.
Correct.
And he's in the press box.
Yeah, I don't like it. Just send him to Iowa. Go down, have fun in Des Moines,
or just
buddy.
Put him in Sam Steele's place and see what happens.
Also that, too.
When Jags play well because they feel good, what could Marco Rossi do? And, they might give up some goals. They can't score goals.
No, they can't.
I can't believe this administration is working me up like, Billy, give me a call. We got to talk. We got to talk about this.
We can. God, have a good Thanksgiving, Bill Guerin, and the rest of Minnesota Wild fans. You know, Judd's Hockey Show will be back later on this week and whatnot to recap. Find some games. There's 3 days off again next week. I
saw your tweets.
I'm upset. I'm upset about it. But regardless, hit the subscribe button for daily Minnesota sports entertainment on this YouTube channel. Pass, shoot, score.